Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Payments News. My name is Cindy and today is August 30th, 2019. This edition is brought to you by Paycademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Rapid, TNG Fintech Group to streamline cashless payments globally. IntelliFlow receives FCA registration as an AISP. Singapore opens applications for new digital bank licenses. Thailand's e-payment master plan has opened door to cashless economy, report shows. Plaid becomes Nacha preferred partner. Digital payments grow in India at 12.7% CAGR, KPMG shows. Finastra appoints new APAC head. PNC kicks off RippleNet cross-border transactions. Payactiv deploys Fiserv Tech to move employee wages. Small business owners tackle late payments with proactive policies. Why Vietnam is the next payments and commerce frontier. Gig workers' preferences for advance pay depends upon persona. Workspace sharing entices B2B venture capital dollars. The travel industry's cross-border B2B payments strategy. Now let's get started. Rapid, TNG Fintech Group to streamline cashless payments globally. Rapid has partnered with TNG Fintech Group to add TNG Wallet to the list of over 500 existing payment methods that are already offered by Rapid. Rapid's customers around the world will be able to accept payments from e-wallet users, even if they do not have a credit or debit card. Apart from TNG Wallet in Hong Kong, the partnership will help Rapid merchants gain access to new markets via the Haya platform. The Haya platform currently covers Hong Kong and over 160 countries and provides 247 cash-in and cash-out services to its users through a network of over 5,000 banks and over 400,000 cash pickup points globally. By accessing the Rapid Global Payment Network, businesses can access over 500 locally preferred payment methods including bank transfers, e-wallets, and cash in more than 100 countries. IntelliFlow receives FCA registration as an AISP. UK-based business management software IntelliFlow has been authorized by the FCA for registration as an account information service provider. AISP status ensures that IntelliFlow can continue to aggregate information from clients' bank accounts. This capability, available via the Personal Finance Portal, PFP, enables advisors' clients to review the daily balances on their bank and other accounts, providing them with a holistic overview of their finances at any time. IntelliFlow already has integration with Yodlee, providing client data via screen scraping, which therefore required the company to seek authorization to continue to carry out this activity, in line with the Payment Services Directive which comes into force in September 2019. The FCA registration means IntelliFlow can expand use of open APIs which enable third-party developers to build applications and services that deliver enhanced connectivity for advisors' clients to a broad range of financial products and services. Singapore opens applications for new digital bank licenses. The Monetary Authority of Singapore has invited applications for new digital bank licenses. Up to 2 digital full bank licenses and 3 digital wholesale bank licenses will be issued, with a view to ensuring that Singapore's banking sector continues to be resilient, competitive and vibrant, according to the Monetary Authority of Singapore. Applications close on 31 December 2019 and are open to non-bank players, as long as they meet certain eligibility criteria. MAS will only consider companies that are anchored and headquartered in Singapore and controlled by Singaporeans. They must also meet certain standards concerning business track record, capital commitment, a clear value proposition and a sustainable business model, along with fit and proper shareholders, directors and management. Eligible applicants will be further assessed for the value they bring to underserved segments of the Singapore market, their ability to implement and run the bank, and their growth potential. There will also be a focus on the contribution made to Singapore's financial center, as well as its regional expansion plans. Successful applicants will be announced in mid-2020 and expected to be ready for business by mid-2021. Thailand's e-payment master plan has opened door to cashless economy, report shows. The share of cash in Thailand is on a gradual decline due to the government's national e-payment master plan, according to Global Data Report. The report, Thailand Cards and Payments, Opportunities and Risks to 2022, reveals that the share of cash in the overall payment volume is expected to decline from 85.6% in 2018 to 77.8% in 2022. The total card payment value is expected to increase from 1.8 trillion Thai bahts, $56.1 billion United States dollars, to 2.7 trillion Thai bahts, $83.8 billion United States dollars. As part of the National E-Payment Master Plan, the government launched a program in 2017 to drive POS installation among smaller retailers and government agencies. Merchants were offered tax deduction, fee waivers on POS issuance and rental, and a reduction of merchant discount rates. In 2016, the Bank of Thailand launched a faster payment system, PromptPay, for peer-to-peer transfers and payments through mobile phone using only the recipient's mobile number or national ID number. As of December 2018, 46.5 million users, over half of the country's population, had registered for the system. In August 2017, the central bank collaborated with American Express, JCB International, MasterCard, UnionPay, and Visa to introduce the Thai QR code payment standard to create an open, interoperable payments infrastructure. Plaid becomes Nacha preferred partner. Plaid is now a Nacha preferred partner for account validation. In becoming a Nacha preferred partner, Plaid joins a select group of innovators contributing to Nacha's strategic efforts in support of the payments ecosystem by removing friction, increasing ease, improving cash flow accessibility and efficiency, as well as supporting sound risk management and security for ACH payments. Minimizing payments risk and fraud is vitally important, and account validation solutions have a key role to play in that, said Jane Larimer, Nacha president and CEO. Improving transaction quality in the payments industry requires a wealth of expertise, and so Nacha is pleased to welcome Plaid as a Nacha preferred partner. With more than 10 billion transactions analyzed, Plaid adds key insights to the data it provides through its suite of analytics products. Plaid strives to improve the world's financial data network through innovation. We're excited that Nacha selected us as a preferred partner with the capabilities to help merchants and service providers perform account validation, said Seema Gandhi, head of business development at Plaid. We aim to help businesses successfully leverage the ACH ecosystem by providing a robust account authentication mechanism with comprehensive coverage and seamless user experiences. Digital payments grow in India at 12.7% CAGR, KPMG shows. Digital payments in India register a high growth with a CAGR of 12.7% in the number of non-cash transactions, a report by KPMG has uncovered. The KPMG report shows that the mobile payment revolution in the country has led to a boom in the number of merchants adopting digital payments with close to 1.5 million digital payment acceptance locations between 2016 and 2017. Other key findings: the number of merchants accepting digital payments modes has increased to over 10 million in 2 to 3 years. The global digital payments market is expected to touch US$10.07 trillion by 2026. The mobile wallet market is expected to continue its expansion at a CAGR of nearly 52.2% by volume during 2019-23. The volume of UPI transactions have increased at a CAGR of 246% during the period from 2016-17 to 2018-19. Moreover, the Reserve Bank of India has forecast an outcome of 50% increase in mobile-based payment transactions as per its 2021 vision document. This shift can be attributed to robust payment infrastructure, evolution of form factors, availability of structured data, shift in consumer behavior, and the government's vision of transforming India into a cashless economy. Finastra appoints new APAC head. Finastra has appointed Wissam Kaori to lead its Asia-Pacific APAC business. In this new expanded role as Senior Vice President and General Manager for Middle East and Africa (MEA) and APAC, WESAM is responsible for driving Finastra's growth strategy, strengthening its regional footprint, accelerating sales and continuing to deepen customer partnerships across both regions. WESAM has a very successful track record in managing high-performing teams, having spent more than 2 years leading Finastra's MEA operations as Managing Director. The new combined position, overseeing Finastra's APAC and MEA regions, will foster synergies and sharing of best practice in similar high-growth potential markets. WESAM will leverage his customer-centric approach to strengthen existing client relationships and expand Finastra's footprint in the region by bringing in the latest development and innovation to the financial market, such as open banking, cloud solutions and Finastra's Fusion Fabric, cloud platform. Eric Duffo, President and Global Head of Field Operations at Finastra, said, "With over 20 years of experience helping financial institutions build competitive advantage and proven success in driving agile growth and results-driven teams at Finastra, WESAM is the right person to help us continue our journey and gain even greater market share in APAC. We look forward to seeing the regions benefit from shared best practice and supporting our customers as they transform their businesses." Prior to joining Finastra, WESAM held senior roles at banking and payments software organizations across MEA. He has also made an instrumental contribution to the growth of the region's fintech industry. WESAM said, "I am very excited to lead the new expanded territory as Asia is one of our fastest-growing regions, with lots of opportunities to help banks drive digital transformation, cloud adoption and the move towards new platform-based business models. Finastra is best positioned to accelerate innovation and drive collaboration between financial institutions and fintechs to create the ultimate customer experience for banks' clients." WESAM took up his new role on the 1st of August and will split his time across both regions with bases in Singapore and Dubai. While Finastra welcomes WESAM to Singapore, the company also sees the departure of Imad Abu Haidar, Managing Director, APAC, who will leave his role on the 31st of September to pursue a new opportunity. PNC kicks off RippleNet cross-border transactions. U.S. bank PNC has begun using RippleNet to facilitate cross-border transactions, reports said Thursday, August 29. Fintech Futures reported that PNC is the first U.S. bank to use RippleNet's blockchain network to move money across borders. The solution is available to corporate clients of the bank's PNC Treasury Management Unit, according to reports, and will enable PNC to offer businesses real-time global payments. Using RippleNet, PNC Treasury Management can enable business clients to receive payment on their outstanding invoices from their overseas corporate buyers in real time, with the aim of supporting enhanced cash flow management. PNC first announced its plans to join RippleNet last September. At the time, PNC Treasury Management Executive Vice President and Head of Product Chris Ward said corporates demand access to real-time cross-border payments. "The speed of doing business continues to accelerate, and the efficiencies of RTP real-time payments allow our clients to not only keep pace, but stay ahead," he said at the time. Ripple's VP of Customer Success Marcus Treacher said in another statement in September that PNC, as an innovative and forward-thinking institution, understands the promise of emerging technologies like blockchain. Earlier this year, Ripple said 13 more financial institutions had signed up for RippleNet, including Euro Exim Bank and Ali Bank of Kuwait, bringing the total number of financial institutions signed up for the service to more than 200. News of RippleNet's first U.S. bank using the cross-border payments technology came the same week another blockchain company, WeTrade, marked its own banking first. HSBC this week announced it became the first bank to use WeTrade's blockchain solution to complete a trade financing transaction, a feat completed amid WeTrade's second round of pilot tests, the company said. "This is the first transaction where we have had two buyers use the system end-to-end, including the ability to write the invoice, agree to trade terms, provide the BPU, bank payment undertaking, and additionally receive funding off the back of that BPU," said HSBC UK Head of Global Trade and Receivables Finance Ian Tandy in an interview with Global Trade Review. Payactiv deploys Fiserv Tech to move employee wages. PayActive is collaborating with Fiserv to streamline workers' access to their wages, the companies said this week. In an announcement this week, Fiserv said its collaboration with employee financial wellness solution provider PayActive will enable the latter to more efficiently connect its employee users to their earned wages. PayActive's existing offering includes enabling professionals to access up to half of their earned paycheck before payday in an effort to alleviate cash flow stress without using payday loans. Fiserv will link PayActive to its digital disbursements technology, enabling users to move money in real time across their U.S. bank accounts or card accounts via direct push payments. The collaboration means employees can see funds land in those new accounts in near real time, rather than in a few days. In a statement, Fiserv President of Electronic Payments Tom Allinson said the influx of gig workers has introduced challenges in how professionals access their earned wages. With the rise of the gig economy and new ways of working, people increasingly expect to be able to access their pay right away, he said. PayActive is enabling employers to meet that expectation. Many people live paycheck to paycheck, and any sort of urgent or unexpected financial need can cause them significant stress that detracts from their daily lives, said PayActive CEO Safwan Shah in another statement. PayActive can eliminate that stress by giving people a convenient way to access the money they have already earned. According to the companies, by connecting employees to earned wages, professionals can strengthen their financial wellness while their employers benefit from more satisfied staff members. The PYMNT's May Faster Payments Tracker pointed to this trend of businesses enabling professionals to access wages before payday. That focus led Belco Credit Union to deploy PayActive solution for its own employees, and according to the credit union's HR payroll administrator Teresa Sanders, employees struggle to get from paycheck to paycheck no matter who they are. Small business owners tackle late payments with proactive policies. For small businesses, clients and customers who pay late or don't pay at all cost precious time and money. As reported by the Associated Press, these clients make owners chase payments and bring in attorneys as well as collection agencies. And small business owners can have an even greater challenge collecting funds from consumers and businesses if the economy soon falters or dips into a recession. Even so, small business owners are taking proactive steps to guard against late payments. To protect themselves and their cash flows, many owners ask for funds up front. They also might only accept customers that present a minimum amount of risk. But it might take the experience of having a customer not pay to cause business owners to take proactive measures. After a retailer wouldn't pay for a perfume shipment, Marcia Kelly, who has been an owner of businesses, thought this is never happening again. Wanting to make the sale, she didn't concern herself with the payment at the time of the order. I called, went over there, almost camped out and took back the unsold merchandise, Kelly told the Newswire. But I never got any money. Kelly's customers now receive a friendly letter or email if they are over a week late. And Kelly said, according to the AP, that they get a less friendly email asking for payment after 2 weeks. Kelly is not alone, with the co-owners of the Buzz agency finding it challenging to get some clients to pay in the early years of their public relations business. They didn't make their clients pay up front, and the company was only set up to accept checks for payments. Julie Mullen, the agency's co-owner, told the AP, "When you can't pay your freelancers because your clients aren't paying, you've got to do something about that." And they did. She and co-owner Elizabeth Grace designed a policy that made clients pay the first month's charge before any work starts. If customers didn't pay for work completed later in the relationships, they would send past due notices and reminders. Mullen told the AP they would then personally show up to a place of business and insist we weren't leaving until payment was in our hand. In the United Kingdom, across the pond, the United Kingdom is making stronger late payment rules. With the prompt payment code, organizations that wish to do business with government departments need to have 95% of all supply chain invoices paid within 60 days. Suppliers that don't meet this standard could be prevented from gaining contracts with the government, according to reports. The policy was first announced in November last year. Putting this policy in perspective, Aldermore Group Managing Director for Business Finance Tim Boag said per reports, "This is a huge step in the right direction of finally tackling the issue of late payments, which impacts one in six small businesses across the UK." According to research from Aldermore, a business experiencing late payments will be owed $34,000, $42,000 on average. Around the world, and, in other news, the United States leads delinquent payments with 48% of foreign payments and 52% of domestic payments that are past due. However, the European Union, EU, as well as Asia-Pacific, APAC, have 41% and 43% domestic payments past due, as well as foreign delinquencies of 42% and 46%. Even so, days sales outstanding, DSO, in the United States is the lowest out of those regions. The United States averages 37 days DSO compared to 44 in the EU and 40 in APAC, indicating that credit terms could be more conservative in the US. According to the report, cash flow concerns are most severe with businesses in the United States that have from 55 to 99 employees. The report also noted that 66% of companies with that number of employees note worry or extreme worry when it comes to cash flow. Why Vietnam is the next payments and commerce frontier? Here's a thought as the unofficial end of summer draws near and a new decade looms, pay more attention to Vietnam. No doubt you already are, but maybe pay even more attention, especially to get a better sense of how digital and mobile payment and commerce trends are playing out in one of the fastest growing economies in the world. In a new PYMNTS interview with Karen Webster, Ryan Frere, the Vice President of Global Payments at Flywire, made one of the latest cases we've heard about why Vietnam not only matters when it comes to payments and commerce, but why that country and that market is significant to all the things that are important to the digital economy. Similar paths. Granted, cash and cash on delivery still have principal roles in Vietnam. A robust middle class is still emerging, and wealth is pretty small compared to the region's leading player, China. However, things are changing, things that signal an ongoing and lasting move toward more digitalization. It's taking a similar path as China, Frere told Webster. That is, consumers in Vietnam are moving toward the general idea of using their mobile devices, the device in hand, as he described it, to handle the multitude of transactions that pop up in a typical day. Those transactions might include food delivery, ride hailing and retail purchases, among others. Already, China-based operations such as Alipay are building their presence in this Southeast Asian country, and more mobile offerings are sure to follow or find deeper footings there. Indeed, Flywire is getting involved in the payments game for Vietnam and its consumers. As PYMNTS has covered, the company is joining forces with Vietnam Prosperity Bank, VP Bank, to make it easier for Vietnamese students to make international tuition payments. According to a release, Flywire will allow the students, many of whom study in Japan and Australia, to make payments in VND in the method they choose. That includes bank transfers, which are very popular in Vietnam. So what does it take to achieve payments success in Vietnam to have a chance to grab meaningful market share and have an opportunity to build a product or even ecosystem that will attract and retain consumers? Champion Bank. According to Frere, having the right bank partner is critical. Vietnam's government and central bank have rather strict FX and currency controls, and working with the right local bank will help an outside company navigate those thickets of regulations. The amount of documentation to make FX transactions can be almost prohibitive, he told Webster. The government doesn't want currency moving out of the country. You need a strong champion bank. Outside firms that want to play a significant and profitable role in Vietnam in the 2020s also need to pay attention to how manufacturers are moving there, and all the general supply chain issues related to that. After all, such economic activity is sure to bring more income benefits to Vietnamese consumers, and to help build that middle class. Moreover, those trends, in turn, will almost certainly encourage more efforts to bring even more digital and mobile transactions to the country. What is happening, or has happened, in neighboring countries and to developing countries in general also is worth studying. After all, Vietnam has the benefit of taking lessons from those experiences. Also, in many respects, what is happening with payments and payment process in Vietnam is not too dissimilar from what was happening in other parts of that region, Frere said. Fresh investment. No matter what, relevant and interesting things are happening in Vietnam. One recent example? Grab recently announced that it will invest $500 million into Vietnam, and the Singapore-based provider of transportation and other services is now revealing details about what it has planned for Vietnam. Already, Grab has teamed up with Vietnam fintech company Moka to introduce a digital wallet. The company also partnered with Japanese credit card outfit Credit Saison to offer loans and credit insight to small entrepreneurs in SE Asia. It's hardly news that Vietnam is on the rise. However, a closer and sustained look at the payment and commerce trends playing out there could pay big dividends down the road. Gig workers' preferences for advance pay depends upon persona. Share tweet share share print email. The gig economy might be transforming many aspects of the traditional employee-employer relationship. There is still not a consensus on whether gig workers are contractors or employees, but the way gig workers are paid has yet to change with the times. The latest pay advances playbook takes a close look at different types of gig workers to determine their expectations for getting paid and to gauge their interest levels in pay advances. Who are the gig workers? According to the study, working in the gig economy is a paycheck-to-paycheck situation. Payday expectant workers make up the largest share at 41.9%. Another 29.6% are payday-centric, while financially stable and secure gig workers combined represent just 28.5% of the sample. All of these different types of gig workers also have different reasons for getting involved with the gig economy. The least financially secure, payday-dependent and payday-centric were the most likely to cite gig work as a primary means to support themselves and their families and as a way to pay day-to-day bills. A majority of financially secure workers, 55.4%, were attracted to gig work for its flexibility. The contrasting motivations workers have for participating in the gig economy are closely related to their interest in pay advances. Paycheck-to-paycheck workers are not only more interested in pay advances than other personas, but also view them as a way to gain greater financial control and flexibility. Large portions of paycheck-to-paycheck workers have expressed interest in pay advances, with 84.1% of those who are payday-dependent and 83.6% of payday-centric respondents doing so. But interest in pay advances isn't exclusive to those who are struggling financially. Even two-thirds of all financially stable and financially secure gig workers are interested in pay advances. To further drive home the importance of pay advances for gig workers, many would be willing to switch to digital platforms that provide them. An earlier study found that a majority, 51.8%, of gig workers would consider switching to platforms that offer pay advances. In the new study, roughly two-thirds of these workers say they would be at least somewhat likely to switch to providers that offer pay advances. Additionally, 30.2% of payday-centric and 35.2% of payday-dependent workers consider themselves very or extremely likely to switch to providers that offer pay advances. The desire for pay advances complements past findings that also show how important fast payments are to gig workers. 85% of them would work more often if they were paid faster. What about fees? Majorities within all paycheck-to-paycheck personas are willing to pay fees of at least 1%. The study shows that 38% of payday-expectant workers are willing to pay fees of between 1% and 3%, and 6.8% are willing to pay more than 5%. In an interview with PYMNTS, Johnny Reinch, CEO of Quill, a liquidity-as-a-service platform, explained how the company works. Quill buys the invoice from the client, staffing firm or freelance marketplace and pays a freelancer or SMB a discounted amount, determined by Quill's proprietary underwriting algorithms. By adding a bit of technology and injecting ourselves into the ecosystems where freelancers and SMBs find work and get paid for the work, we're able to have an impact at a massive scale, Reinch said. According to Reinch, the total fees amount to a few percentage points on average, roughly a 20% annualized charge. So far, freelancers accept offers to use Quill and get advances about 40% of the time. Adoption is greater once it's made clear that these are not payday loans with high interest rates and fees. Quill is registered as a public benefit corporation, so in addition to providing profits to shareholders, the company has a charter purpose to provide some social good and meet high bars for transparency and legal accountability. The goal, said Reinsch, is to make sure we really are adding material value to society, not extracting it in the form of fees. Interestingly, according to the latest pay advances playbook, fees associated with pay advances are not a major deterrent. Fewer than 1 in 5, 14.6%, payday-dependent workers who are not interested in them believe they are too expensive. The biggest negative among payday-dependent workers, 37.1%, and payday-centric workers, 37.8%, is that using pay advances would restrict financial flexibility. Workspace sharing entices B2B venture capital dollars. U.S.-based B2B startups took control of the funding reins this week, with five of the seven newly funded technology firms based stateside. More than $213 million was raised, with investors targeting a range of solutions from alternative lending to document and application programming interface API management. But it was the workspace sharing industry that saw the most funding. PYMNTS breaks down the latest B2B startup investment rounds below. Sync. Based in Bahrain, Sync operates a workforce management software as a service solution that allows business users to manage their mobile workforces. The company raised $250,000 in pre-seed funding, a press release this week said, led by Dubai angel investors and a range of other angel investors. Sync said it plans to use the funding to grow its team and further develop its job tracking function, with plans to target North American small business customers. The platform also offers spreadsheet management, location tracking and job scheduling capabilities. Salario. With $5.5 million in new funding, U.S.-based Salario will focus on scaling its online service that connects freelancers and entrepreneurs with financing for security deposits on co-working spaces. Investors at Ruby Ventures and Michael Ullman's investment group provided the latest round, which brings the total raised by Salario to $6.3 million, a press release said. As a mix between an alternative lender and workspace solution provider, the company connects entrepreneurs to spaces from WeWork, Office Evolution and other on-demand workspace sharing companies. The company claims to be the first startup operating as an online lender specific to the workspace sharing industry. ReadMe. California-based ReadMe has raised $9 million in Series A funding for its technology enabling business users to customize API documentation. Excel led the round, a press release said, while Y Combinator also participated. ReadMe plans to use the investment to expand operations and product development. The firm aims to help businesses more efficiently manage their documents APIs. Tesorio. California's Tesorio, a fintech startup enabling business users to automate and predict cash flow, announced $10 million in fresh funding, led by Madrona Venture Group. GeekWire reports did not reveal exactly how Tesorio plans to use the investment, though noted the company uses a range of data sources, including accounts payable and accounts receivable, combined with technologies like artificial intelligence and machine learning, to automate cash flow forecasting for its customers. Reports noted that so far, Tesorio has processed $56 billion in payments and 10 million invoices, using that data to forecast cash flow. Best Mile. Fleet technology firm Bestmile, based both in California and Switzerland, has raised $16.5 million in Series B funding led by Blue Lagoon Capital and Trankslink Capital. Road Ventures, Partech, Group ADP, Airbus Ventures, Serena and other investors also participated, a press release said. Bestmile connects firms to a fleet management platform to help them manage autonomous and human-driven fleets, offering dispatching, routing and ride-matching solutions. Reports said Bestmile planned to use the funding to ramp up every part of its organization. Bharatpe. The $50 million raised by India's Bharatpe this week will be used by the startup to broaden its working capital solution, TechCrunch reported this week. The company operates a solution that allows merchants to accept digital payments, but said it will invest in its financing offering that connects its business users to working capital, and to launch a new solution that connects merchants with their suppliers. Investors at California's Ribbit Capital and London's Steadview Capital led the Series B funding, reports said. Credit Justo. High-profile investors including Goldman Sachs have led a $42 million investment round in Mexico-based alternative lender Credit Justo, a press release this week said. Point72 Ventures and other backers also participated, backing the fintech that connects small businesses to loans and equipment leases. Credit Justo said it plans to use the investment to introduce a credit card product for its small business users, reports in the Financial Post said. Industrious. While Salario aims to capitalize on the workspace sharing boom, U.S.-based Industrious hopes to disrupt it. The company offers flexible, on-demand workspace solutions, and this week reports in Real Estate Weekly said the firm raised $80 million in Series D funding, with investors at Riverwood Capital Partners, Brookfield Properties Retail Group, TF Cornerstone, Granite Properties, Equinox, Wells Fargo Strategic Capital, Fifth Wall Capital and the Canada Pension Plan Investment Board. According to reports, Industrious collaborates with landlords to boost their revenue while connecting companies with flexible workspaces including large suites and amenities shared throughout a single property. The company takes a partnership-only approach to the market, it explained, and said it will continue to focus on strategic landlord collaborations as it grows. The travel industry's cross-border B2B payments strategy. The friction-heavy processes of the travel industry make it a prime target for fintech innovation. By nature, travel is a sector dependent on the movement of data and money across borders, so players in this field have their fingers on the pulse of global payments innovation. There are two driving factors behind the travel industry's embrace of virtual B2B payments, according to Appizo co-founder Andrew Sims. The first is the overall evolution of the B2B payments space, which has addressed adoption challenges for businesses looking to embrace digital payment tools like virtual cards. The second, and more industry-specific, trend is the rise of the online travel agency. These differ from traditional agencies and corporate travel management companies because their receivables cycle is shorter, as the majority of incoming customer payments are settled by card, he explained, adding that online travel agencies are digital-first, allowing for more flexible adoption of technologies like API integrations and the embrace of virtual cloud networks, VCNs, through which these businesses issue travel tickets and manage bookings. In the Middle East, where Appizo recently launched a partnership with travel technology firm Sabre, both of these trends are beginning to converge. The travel sector in this market is digitizing and ushering in online travel agencies, while virtual payment technologies are beginning to take hold. But it has not been an easy journey, Sims noted, particularly as payments technology companies have grappled with the region's unique challenges of regulation and cross-border payments friction. The regional market is complex from a regulatory licensing, FX and cash management perspective, and this makes it more difficult for international virtual payments companies to provide services suitable for intra-regional payments using domestic currencies, and whilst there are some banks providing virtual payments, the technology and supporting services they offer are rudimentary, he said. The cross-border challenge. The global nature of the travel sector means that for digital payment technologies to be embraced by industry players, they must be agile enough to facilitate a high volume of cross-border B2B transactions. As Sims pointed out, the regional challenges of global corporate payments are similar to those seen in other parts of the world. The need for companies to manage fund collections and then consolidate and reconcile that information when those transactions occur in different currencies. In the Middle East, he said, the vast majority of B2B payments are settled via SWIFT bank transfer, and the mechanisms through which companies can make these payments always come with added fees or non-financial costs, such as the burden of manual reconciliation. What makes virtual card payments well-suited to tackling those cross-border payment challenges is their ability to integrate deeply into businesses' existing back-office systems via APIs. And thanks to the API-friendly nature of the online travel agency, virtual cards can be a good fit for this sector, said Sims. Immediacy of authorization, fast settlement and the protection offered to our customer and supplier through the payment scheme are all major factors of virtual card adoption, he said, especially in the travel segment, where a booking or reservation is made for services that will be fulfilled at a future date. API integration is an incredibly important factor in how virtual cards can benefit global B2B travel payments and cross-border B2B payments in general, Sims added, noting that the benefits of virtual cards are often overlooked when businesses first review the possibility of migrating to virtual payments. For the travel industry, API integration means virtual payments can occur seamlessly within the broader corporate travel booking and management process, while support for automation means online travel agencies can expand their capacity without draining resources. Further, integrated virtual card payments mean a seamless process of booking to settlement, which makes for an exception-based reconciliation process and more efficient use of resources, Sims said. It's perhaps unsurprising, then, that virtual card payments are on the rise in the corporate travel booking industry. Last year, researchers at the Global Business Travel Association and AirPlus International found that mobile and virtual payments are on the rise in the industry, particularly as industry players recognize the security benefits of single-use virtual cards. With the Middle East's digital B2B payments market beginning to pick up steam and with online travel agencies also gaining traction, the market is ripe for virtual card disruption in corporate travel. However, it's far from the only industry eager for cross-border B2B payments digitization and innovation. Many of these benefits are readily transposable into other verticals, Sims confirmed, pointing to the insurance sector as another target for Apizo to automate B2B settlements. There are many practical use cases and benefits to be exploited for other businesses engaging in general trading or procurement processes. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.